Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to say good afternoon to everyone and to our listening audience. And we are always happy to have the occasion to come to your home today and speak to you as we talk about filling some of our missing pages of history. And as your host today, Lee Robinson, we're going to basically have an open topic in which we encourage our listening audience to call in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. We'd like to basically like to know what's going on in the neck of your woods. Part two is a continuation. Call in and inform us on what's going on in the neck of your woods. But before we open up our phone lines, we do have some of the contributors, the analysts of Missing Pages Online. And they're going to start us off as we talk about some hot topics and current events. Right now, one of the hot topics and current events that I'd like to raise for everyone along here, we have Brother Mikhail, Sister Susie, and one of our dear supporter Jabari. They'll be getting our version and perspective on the issue of, we're going to talk a little bit about sports. Let's open up a little bit about sports. Professional and college sports. Recently in the news, there have been a discussion around the issue of Jameis Winston, I believe, the quarterback of Florida State, who is now the front Heisman Trophy front runner. There have been a discussion of whether or not if he may have committed rape as you know, on the campus of Florida State. And we would basically like to get the audience perspective in terms of, based upon what you do know, and perception of how the news has been been slanted towards this whole story. How do you feel about it? When I often hear about this case, it seems like every year we have some kind of similar cases of some kind of well-known athlete for some reason or another be put in a position of a position where he could be accused of something falsely or justly. But the whole idea of being put in that position, what is it about these athletes where they are openly putting themselves in these kind of positions, knowing the potential future ramification that it may have on their future well-being and development? In this case, this is what we're talking about, his financial development. Do anyone better believe on this panel that a football player, as well-known as this young man who's up at Heisman Trophy, and he have had many experiences before him, will allow himself to do an act of a rape, a very, you know, cruel act of raping someone? What would be his interest and motivation, given that his future is so promising? So I would just like to, you know, just hear your views on how do y'all see this whole story, how it's been slanted and been presented to the public, in terms of, you know, whether or not do you think this is even possible that someone of his status would do something, given that he has such a promising future? Brother Mikhail, I'd like to just raise with you first, based on how you've been viewing the story. First and foremost, when you're a well-known athlete and you won the, you know, popular student on campus, there seem to be plenty of opportunities where females may well even allow themselves to be available to be your friend, to support you in whatever needs that you may have. We know these things do go on in reality. If that is the case, how do you see the realistic aspect of maybe this young man being guilty of this rape charge? I'm not saying he did, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm just trying to understand the climax in which how someone allowed himself to get in these kind of positions, given their potential future, what they can get in the future if they stay out of trouble like the one that he's finding something in. What's your take on this case, Brother Mikhail?
Peace, this is Brother Mikhail out of Philadelphia, PA. I'm not particularly familiar with this case or the details of the case, but in general, we are, first of all, got to remember these are human beings involved now. as to whether he did this act or whether it's questionable what happened. I can't speak to that, but the opportunity for these kinds of things happens and increases as the athlete or the future athlete or professional is open to large sums of cash. So we had Kobe Bryant and a few other cases, or quite a few other cases, that leave you to wonder whether it was an actual rape or was it something that the alleged victim was a participant in willingly and decided that the financial gain was a possibility or worth that act. We can't really say without the details unless somebody we can get testimony from both parties, and then from there we can kind of get an impression of whether that act is plausible or whether that actually took place. We had Mike Tyson and plenty of others, so it's a question. So that's all it could really be at this point for as far as my take on the whole situation.
Okay, Brother Zababi, what is your take? As a young, formerly, recently college grad, what is your take on this particular case?
Well, I feel that it's no accident that for him to be able to receive this prestigious award, the attempts of time, it's basically sabotage, to be honest. And that they're trying to prevent him from achieving something that will greatly cement his legacy in regards to future endeavors.
Yeah, because I think the point you raised about the time is very interesting in terms of we knew they had they've been left for 10, 11 months. They sort of had the case on hold and didn't say anything about it. And now all of a sudden it pops up. And it does make you wonder in terms of if there may be some other motivation, and maybe even political motivation, maybe to undermine his ability maybe to get the Heisman Trophy this year. And we know that in sports, like anything else, you know, politics does have its way of finding itself into situations like this. And when you're dealing with lots of money, and then when you're dealing with African athletes, a lot of times they are people who have motivation who want to, you know, undermine them from being successful because of many reasons. And we know that does play a, you know, play a role in a lot of times how events is played out. We have a female with us today on the board. We have one of our contributors, and this sister Susie. Being a young lady, what is your general impression of this particular case, based upon what you have heard and what other people may have shared with you as y'all discuss this on a daily basis?
Well, I think the whole thing, I know you have periods where you have statute of limitation and whatever, but the thing of it is, it wasn't applied in this particular gentleman's case. And the fact that they watch these athletes, they watch them the whole year, 4 years, 4 or 5 years that they're playing college ball. And to not prosecute him at the time based on the later allegations, then it probably was somewhat set up because of the point they knew what year he would possibly be going out as a candidate for the to win the award. I can't think of the name of the award that they get, the Heisman Trophy. So all of it had to be premeditated because of the fact if it was really if it was really a sincere case, they would have prosecuted him at that time. They chose not to do nothing for a whole year. So all of it, in my opinion, was planned.
That is really interesting coming from a female. Let's move on to another hot topic and current event. Again, we'd like to welcome our listening audience to Missing Pages of History. You are welcome to call in at any time. Our line is now open at 818-337-0016, and we'd like to hear your views and comments on some of the topics and issues we are raising, as well as just some general idea of what's going on in the neck of your wood. So you are welcome to call in again at 818-337-0016. Going for the sports situation right now, and let's just talk a little bit about something that is more traumatic as relates to the killing of young African youth today in the United States. Recently they had this case, I believe it was up in Detroit, where a young lady was in a car accident and she was wounded real badly, and she was driving early in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. She went to get some help, and she went to her door, and a young man ended up shooting her in the head. And when y'all first heard of that particular case, and up to the point, based upon what you do know about this case today, this case, and there have been other incidents where it seemed like there's open season on just shooting young people for unjust, you know, reasons and causes. What do y'all think contributes to this, and how can we correct these kind of problems for happening in the future? There seem to be a real sense of a rise of racial tension in this country now when it comes to young African youth and basically we're talking about whites, you know, in terms of how they perceive them and how they treat them. In terms of the recent Detroit incident and the incident that was in this high school where a young man's body was found and rolled up in a mat, and when they did get his body, his organs were missing, but no one at school is claiming that they knew nothing about it. How does these kind of incidents affect your way of thinking and looking at things now when it comes to race relations in the United States, Brother McHale?
Yeah, well, we've been through this for a long time. I think primarily, if you go back a year or so ago to the Zimmerman trial with Trayvon Martin as the victim of Zimmerman's vigilantism, I guess you'd call it, when you got the response from the jurors, which were basically white women, I think there was one black Latina or black Hispanic on the jury, and she was the one that kind of had her doubts, even though she went along with the rest of the jury. The jury could not believe that George Zimmerman could be possibly a racist, guilty, or possibly out of order. Trayvon Martin was guilty as charged as being a dangerous black youth, and there was nothing in Trayvon Martin's record. It was just a perception, and it's a perception that we get pretty much all day long on the news, that blacks are violent and a threat. So when people come to your door late at night, as bad as that would be, you're already worried. And then when it comes to an African-American showing up at the doorstep, we don't know what was going on in the minds of the perpetrator, but I'm sure they felt they were possibly justified in committing that kind of an act. We had also recently a case, I believe, with the one of those large storms, and a black woman lost two of her children in this incident. And in attempting to get into a home for safety and assistance for her children, was denied. And the fellow who was quiet, first of all, he said it must be, he thought it was a man. And also that he was not not taking any chances in that situation. So again, black youth or the African American youth in general, and black Americans in general, are viewed as a danger.
Yeah, Bobby, what is your take on that?
Well, I definitely agree with Brother McHale. It's very unfortunate that you're seeing this historical phenomenon being repeated, and shows the lapse of mental judgment that we have as a society. We talk about our ideals of being forgiven and loving one another, but the bottom line is there are always going to be those that are held in certain esteem and those that are held in less than a stellar spotlight.
And we have with us Susie. Can we get your take on the same issue?
Well, I agree with both the gentlemen, but well, something that's got to change is we got to look at the type of propaganda that's been out there. Because we have an issue, as they say, always portraying, especially our black Americans, in a bad light. I think as a home, we need to generate more of our own news and everything to show us in that positive light and allow this to get to these other races where are believing what they're seeing through the media. And until we change that, the sad thing about it is that it's going to continue. But what we have to do as a whole, we got to go back to the way, like my mom used to talk about, you didn't go nowhere, not unless you were in groups, you know, for fear of something happening. So what we're going to have to do, if we break down, then our best bet is going to be to stay in our vehicle. And hopefully that allows us to have some kind of safety. But just going up to anybody don't now and they think they have the right to shoot the next questions later, and it's just going to be it's just going to continue to escalate where a lot of us going to be losing our lives. So we just have to get some form of media out there to tell us how to protect ourselves by not going to these homes.
Well, as y'all know, there has been a lot of discussion in the media about part of the reaction that we are seeing, how whites are viewing, you know, Africans in this country, is solely related to their anger, resentment of President Barack Obama recapturing the election seat, you know, two elections in a row. And they are taking out their anger on everyday citizen who happen to be a African or African American. Do you feel like that this is part of the climate that has been established as a result of him, of his reelection? I'll leave it open for anyone who would like to address that.
Well, this is Mikhail Philly. With the current economic climate, we can expect tensions to rise all the way around. Here in Philadelphia, there have been quite a few bank robberies and et cetera, and these are being perpetrated by people of different races, African Americans and European Americans. And the problem is that with this economy, people are frustrated and looking for someone to blame for the most part. With the presidential situation, that I think is part of the problem, but I really think that more than anything else, it's a lot of it's economic. Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Noble Drew Ali had all predicted that there'd be a time in America when African Americans or black people, or whatever you want to call us, would be unable to get any kind of work or support because the European Americans would not be able to take care of their own. So that becomes another issue in terms of what direction we're going to go in. Are we going to be able to look for assistance or employment from the larger society, or will we have to make our own and make our own future and our own employment?
Okay. Can we raise this question in terms of one of the things that Mrs. Paisley History is fond of saying is that we want to use information as a means to help build our community, because we believe information is very important. And because of the lack of the information that we don't have as relates to our general welfare, it becomes very hard for us to put together some kind of concrete understanding of our current realities. Now, what I would like to do for the time that we have remaining is for each one of y'all talk about a little bit about what's going on in the neck of y'all wood, in y'all communities, in y'all cities, in your state, that you think is of importance to our people. Jabari, let me hear your perspective. What's going on in the neck of your woods that you think is important for you, like our listening audience, to know about right now?
Well, I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention the importance of it again. We're still wondering. Well, there are a couple of issues. One thing is there's an unsettled attorney general race where you're talking about there's been a difference of 20 votes, so both sides involved in that race are going back and forth trying to reach some kind of resolution. And also there's the potential of a baseball stadium being built where there was a major part of the slave trade that commenced in if that deal was to go through, you're talking about a lot of history being wiped out and being forgotten about in terms of something that will bring great commercial value to Richmond.
You raised really interest in terms of there seems to be a lot of welfare for corporate America that is going on. And I'm talking to the point they alluded to, I believe you're talking about in Richmond, Virginia, they're building a new baseball stadium in an area where it has a historical value of history to African people. But there seems to be no sentiments towards that compassion or that understanding of the sensitivity when it comes to the needs and interests of African people as it relates to our history and our culture. I think the point you raise brings about two issues. One, why is it that cities and politicians, even African politicians, find it beneficial where they take money from the public budget, and they allocate it to building these stadiums to give to private owners? How does that mash with this whole concept of a democracy and fairness, where you seem like you take from the poor and give them to the rich? And we notice that that pattern been going on all around the country when it comes to building these professional stadiums. Why is it that you think there's no more strong opposition to this whole welfare behavior when it comes to giving to the rich, Brother McHale and Brother Jabari?
Okay, this is Brother McHale. That's not a new trend either. It's been going on for quite a while, and we've got to remember America's business is business. While we may expect African-American politicians to look out for the African-American community, essentially from what I'm seeing is that once you move into the political arena, you're basically required to give up a certain amount of that favorable treatment to the people that even elected you in favor of the large corporations who are funding and controlling almost everything in this country at the moment. Those large stadiums are being underwritten by the taxpayers, and the expectation is that the sales of merchandise, tickets, and other events associated with these sporting events will benefit the population at large. Of course, it has to go through the corporate headquarters first, and whether it comes back to the average person is another story. We find a lot of this type of leaning towards the corporations is par for the course here in America. So to expect that these black politicians or African-American politicians, however you want to style them, are going to be in your corner is, I think it's a mistake.
Jababi, you want to take a stab at that question?
Yes, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Brother McHale shared, but I'm also going to share the fact that you have to look at the fact that these politicians are basically business people, so they're going to do what's essential towards them becoming an even better business person. So if that requires negotiating and cutting side deals and doing what's best for commercial interests, that's what they're going to engage in.
Okay, we're going to direct this question to analyst Ms. Susie. Ms. Susie, we'd just like to know from your perspective as a woman today, as an African woman today, when you begin to look at all of the problems that's going on in inner cities, which problems you think that has a great impact on you as a woman first and as an African woman sucker?
Well, because of the recent incident with the senator's son attacking him and killing himself, mental illness, because years ago they decided that basically when it came to mental illness, they were going to close up a lot of the institutions. It wasn't a priority as far as individuals, whether you're black or white. But one thing I think we as a people, we need to know that's not known in the African community is the fact that if you go to an institution and you need assistance, and if they can't provide you with a bed or assistance, that you can easily go within that facility. And I think most people will have to deal with the mental illness through a family member or something like that, they're not aware of what's really available, what type of help is available. It's not as readily available as it used to be years ago because they started at the World Health Organization back in the 1980s that they were going to close these institutions. But they see a couple of pockets. But we need to know as a whole where those pockets are. And the only reason that's brought to the forefront is because of this senator and the incident where his son ended up killing himself. As a result, they were saying that he was suffering with mental illness, and they, in a sense, said they didn't have space available for him. So it's something that we need to know as a people, that there is some sources out there if we need it.
Okay, I'd like to just share with our listening audience that we're going to go over a little bit, and for those who would like to hear this program in its entirety, they can always go to our archive by dialing or typing in www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history, and you can hear the entirety of our program. Again, for those who still would like to call in, we have a few minutes left. Feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. You're going to listen to Missing Pages of History, and what we are doing today is basically just talking about current events, hot topics, and what's going on in the neck of our woods. And we'd like to hear from you. Tell us what is going on in the neck of your woods. If you can't get in today, feel free to share with us by getting in contact with us by writing us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Or you can send a postcard or something to us. Let us know what kind of ideas or topics you'd like for us to entertain by sending to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. And we thank you. Susan, you said something I think is really interesting to the public concerns in terms of talking about safety, health safety among the, for the public. That he said this question, this old question of mental illness, and there seemed to be that they made a policy 10, 15, 20 years ago, as you alluded to, where they would start criminalizing mental illness in terms of instead of giving people the proper medical care, they put them in prison, and when they get in prison and release them, they just release them, and they have never been given any proper care, and what that does is it makes everybody vulnerable, and there seemed to be recently into this case that you're speaking of, for those who may not be aware of it, in Charlottesville, Virginia, as you alluded to, a state senator's son attempted to kill his father and then committed suicide himself. And he was a mental patient. And now people begin to refocus again on this whole question of how we look at mental illness and how we treat those who may need those services. And I do think that, you know, that is definitely a great concern for all people, and I think the more we are sensitized toward those kind of things, I think the better we'll be in a position to make our representatives become more responsible. Again, that's the kind of, give people the kind of proper health care that they need. So that's a real excellent point. But what we're going to do right now, I would like each one of y'all to maybe make a closing statement in terms of something that you think people need to know what's going on in your community. And and we thank you for your contribution to our topic today. We'll start with Brother Jabari. Give us a closing statement on what's going on in Nicky Woods and leave us with some kind of thought that people need to be aware of so we can become a better people and better community.
It's important to continue to research and help each other out when possible, because we're all in this together. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. You know, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, and just take time to just reflect over the things that, you know, you're grateful for and understand that everybody's in this together because we're a united human family.
Excellent. Sister Susan, can you have a closing statement?
Okay, the only thing I can say is be as positive as possible. I know it's rough out there now, and it's a different world out there for everyone now. But put positive thoughts in your head and be strong, because it's always a struggle, but we will survive.
And Brother Mike, give us your closing statement.
And I'll just hang on to that, those sentiments with Let's learn to stick together and support each other, lift each other up and not tear each other down. There's a lot of work to be done, and this is the time. We should know better so we can do better, and let's just put it all right. Peace.
Okay, we'd like to thank all of our contributors and analysts for sharing their views and perspective today with us. We basically had an open topic, and we're dealing with the theme of what's going on in the neck of our woods, along with hot topics. As you know, Mrs. Pages of History is a bi-weekly program. We come on every Saturday noon, and we'd like to encourage all our listening audience to please tune in on the 3rd of December at 12 noon as we continue to fill our missing pages of history. Until next time, we want everybody to have a happy, happy Thanksgiving, and we look forward to seeing you on the 3rd. And remind you, we have an upcoming reference joined on the 18th of January. So don't forget, if you would like to support Mrs. Pages of History, you can always purchase some tickets or make a contribution by contacting us at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Or you can email us at MrsPagesOfHistory1@yahoo.com. Until next time, let's strive to go forward ever and backwards never. We thank you for listening to Mrs. Pages of History. Thank you.